time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, Thrivers, this is Lee Bockham. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast as we continue to walk through what thriving people do differently. Today, I want to start with a story. It's been a couple of years, and I was in Las Vegas when this happened. I was walking through the hotel. I was there at a conference, and as I was walking through the hotel, I had to go through what I think every Vegas hotel does. They make you walk through the casino. Right in the middle. It was in the middle of the whole structure. And so in order to get to any of the conference rooms, I had to walk right through the smoke-filled, loud movements, lights everywhere, casino. Now, it's not the first time I've been in a casino. I'm kind of familiar with that, having been on a cruise ship and been to Vegas a couple of other times for other conferences. But this one caught my attention because I had to go through every single break throughout the day, throughout the evening, as I was going to the conference. And I was at a conference where the people were alive with trying to find their purpose, trying to figure out how to get their purpose into the world. And so there I was walking through the casino, and I took a moment to look around. And the casinos were full of people. There were people who were sitting at the slot machines, pulling that lever over and over and hitting the buttons over and over. And I noticed something about every one of them. The first thing is their eyes were completely glazed over. The second thing is many of them had in the hand that was pulling the lever a cigarette and in the other hand a drink. And they went through a motion of pulling the lever, taking a sip, taking a smoke, and back and forth it went. Every now and then I would see some money fall out and it didn't seem to register for the person who was there. Soon after I was walking through, I got to the conference room and I sat down with a person and I turned to the person beside me and I said, "Do you believe in zombies?" And he gave me a really strange look. And I said, no, do you believe that zombies exist? And he said, "Well, not really." And I said, "Well, it's interesting. I just saw a bunch of them." And he asked me what I was talking about. And I said, "I just came through a room full of zombies and it looked nothing like the commercials that were all about fun and all about the excitement of the casino. Everybody there seemed like they were completely vacant. They weren't even present at that moment. So even when they won, they weren't part of the process. And here I was surrounded in a room full of chattering people who were excited about life, whose eyes were dancing around. The whole room was energized, but with true energy. Not with the created energy the casino was wanting to create. You know, if you walk through a casino, you'll notice there are no windows. There are no clocks. They want you to lose track of time and want you to lose track of when it is in the day and where the sun is and all of those things. So you lose yourself to the experience so much that you become a zombie to the experience, that you become deadened to that. You become non-present. And so today what I want to talk about is how people who thrive show up to life. You might be familiar with that quote. Woody Allen said that 80% of success is showing up. Well, a lot of people have taken that to mean just kind of stumbling through. You know, if you happen to make it to class and you sit down in the seat, or you happen to make it to your cubicle at work, or you happen to make it to your date, or you happen to make it onto the couch at the end of a day beside your spouse watching TV with the phone in your hand, all of that's enough. That's 80% is showing up. But when he was asked in an interview what he meant by that, Woody Allen said that, you know, if you wanted to be a good violinist, you have to show up to practice and you have to show up to the performances. You have to do the things to do that. You can't say, "I want to be a violinist and do nothing to get there. I want to be something great and do nothing to get there." You actually have to show up to the process. So what he really meant was you had to be present. Now I want to take that a step further and push it to the point of recognizing that many of us fail to show up in life. That we go through the motions, that we kind of stumble through our day, but we are not really present. We're not really showing up. And I have to ask myself that question, when am I showing up? Remember, part of my task in doing this Thriveology study is to figure out how to thrive more in my life and hopefully to help others thrive more in their life. So I always ask the question, how am I showing up? My family does a tradition every year on New Year's Eve. We pick a word, and we've been doing this now for about 8 years, where we pick a word that we're going to live into the new year. That one word is an attempt to encompass what we want to become. And so a couple of years ago, I cheated. It's supposed to be one word, so I just hyphenated and said show up. And that was what I wanted to do every single day that year, is to reflect on how am I showing up? How am I being truly present with people? How am I really being a part of life, not just kind of stumbling through, not just kind of going through the motions, but really being present? You see, there are some barriers to showing up that I think we just kind of have to face as part of our world, and we have to make a choice between them. There are all kinds of distractions now. We have so many options for things that can distract us that we have to be mindful that those distractions keep us from showing up. Think of all of the distractions, and I'm going to just point to three obvious ones: thoughts, tasks, and technology. The thoughts is back to that idea that a thought is a thought, and we don't have to keep entertaining the thought, but sometimes we get so caught up in our thoughts that we're lost to what's going on around us. It's as if the thoughts in our head become our reality. Think of how many times you have conversations going on in your head while the other person is having a conversation with you. You're not really talking with them. You're listening to that internal dialogue. They don't get you. They get a shell of you while the thoughts are running through your head and while you're processing and thinking and having a conversation that they have no idea is going on inside your head. You're not showing up to the conversation in front of them when that happens. Your thoughts have kept you lost and away from the moment. Tasks are another way. You know, we can busy ourselves with the little things that are in the end not so important, but we take care of them. And so maybe a spouse wants to have a long, deep conversation, or a close friend wants to tell you about their day, and instead you feel the need to clean the dishes or need to write those checks or do something else that are just the tasks that probably could wait. It's interesting to me to watch how many of those tasks we put in place of the important things of relating, of being a part of a conversation, of showing up, of enjoying what's going on around us just because we're lost in tasks. Now, it's not that those tasks are unimportant. It's just that sometimes those tasks could wait, and we pull them in as a way of staying away from the need to show up. And then there's technology. We're constantly bombarded. We have the TV, we have phones, we have iPads, we have tablets. We have so many ways that technology can pull us out. I've watched many times as people have distracted themselves when they're with somebody else and they're texting or Snapchatting or having some other conversation with somebody else that's not even there. I had an interesting time of watching. We were sitting in a restaurant. I looked over and there was a lovely couple that was sitting there, a young couple, and they clearly liked each other, but their whole meal was spent with each of them looking at their own iPhones. I can hope that they were messaging each other, but my guess is they weren't. My guess is that their technologies had pulled them away from their relationship and launched them into other connections. Now, again, it's nothing wrong with technology. It's when technology gets in the way of us truly showing up, of us really being a part of a conversation or a part of what's going on around us. You might think of a chunk of this showing up as simply being present. I like to talk about it as being present in the present, that we have to bring ourselves into the present moment. If you think about time as always constantly moving forward and we're a part of that instant, you recognize that what we're leaving behind us is the past and what we're moving into is the future, but neither one of those matter as much as what's happening right now. But sometimes we get lost in what has already happened, or we get lost in what might happen. And when we get lost in what might have happened in the past, we're reliving those memories and holding on to those events. Sometimes that leaves us with a sense of depression. Maybe it's depression of what didn't happen or depression of what did happen. But when we get focused on the past, it leads us down that road of depression. And when we get focused on the future of what might happen, of what could happen, of what we want to not have happen, we often end up in anxiety, fear about what might happen. And so the antidote to both of those is living in the present moment, being present in the present. And being present in the present means it's not just about that, you know, the present moment. We hear so much today about mindfulness and about being in the moment that we sometimes forget that the being in the moment piece means that we show up in the moment in the best way we can. If you'll notice that two-year-olds are in the moment when they're angry and upset and pouting and upset about what they couldn't have right that instant, they're being in the present moment. But I'm talking about present with your best self in the present moment. The moment that matters is this instant, and the people who are around you either get you in that moment or you're distant and absent in that moment. So what else keeps us away from that? Well, laziness is part of it also. Sometimes it's just easier to float through life and not really be engaged. And so instead of really taking the opportunities of engaging with other people and engaging in our own lives, we kind of just float along and let that process just kind of flow from moment to moment. And you might know people who basically have lazily gone through their life without really showing up to it, with really not making a lot of effort to fully invest in what's going on. Another barrier to showing up is fear. Now, fear is a big one, because when we look at fear as something that we should avoid, then we're constantly staying away from the important things. But fear is an indicator of what's important. Fear is an indicator of what we need to move towards and what we need to pay attention to. So it's an attention piece. That emotion of fear, that feeling of fear, is letting you know something is important. It's not an avoidance indicator. It's an importance indicator of how important something might be. Think about it. If you are looking for somebody new in your life, you know, if you're looking for a new relationship and you're sitting somewhere, you're at a party or some event, and you look across and you see two people. One person is somebody you know and you have no interest in. And you could easily walk over and say hi. There's no fear of that. There's really nothing to that. It's just simple to do. You know them. It'd be an easy conversation. But right beside them is somebody that looks like somebody that might be of interest to you. Maybe there's something there about how they look, how they act. Something catches your attention and you get nervous and you get anxious and you get fearful. Well, in that moment, fear is not telling you to stay away from that. Fear is telling you that this is important to pay attention, that this could be an important thing to step into. But unfortunately, we've been trained to stay away from fear, to try to avoid the things that make us fearful, to try to stay away from the things that are constantly in our way. So fear can keep us from showing up. Fear can keep us from stepping into greater things because we don't have confidence. We're afraid of that feeling. We somehow want to stay safe. And then there is another reason that we often don't show up, and that's resentment. We're upset with somebody, and so in order to let that upsetness come through, we decide just not to engage with them. We may avoid them completely, but we may just half-heartedly go through our communication with them because we're upset, right? And so resentment can keep us from truly showing up. So when that happens, we avoid showing up in several different ways. One is numbing. You know, numbing happens in lots of ways. So maybe we use a chemical, some chemical in our life, whether it's sugar or a drug or alcohol or some other substance, as a way of tamping down that place of fear and that place of not feeling not safe. And so sometimes we numb ourselves out as a way of not showing up. You see, showing up calls us to do something bigger. It calls us to really be invested in the present moment. So sometimes that's scary enough that we decide, instead of feeling that need to do something, we'll just numb it down. Another way we avoid it is by blaming, by pointing the finger at somebody else and saying, it's your fault that I'm feeling this way. It's your fault that we don't have this good relationship. It's your fault that you can fill in the blank. This isn't happening. And so we use blame as a way of removing responsibility from ourselves. But remember, thrivers know to assume 100% responsibility for life. So we have to set that blame aside. Sometimes it's just about ducking. Maybe you see somebody you know you need to have an important conversation with and you avoid it. Or maybe your spouse, you know you need to have an important conversation with your spouse, but instead you bring along a friend or bring along a child and you avoid it. Or you sit down and instead of having a serious conversation about what's in the future, you talk about trivial things of scheduling and kids and the latest anecdote for work. That's ducking. Those are ways that we don't truly show up. We don't really move into the possibilities. You see, showing up means that we are physically present, we are emotionally present, and we're spiritually present. We're there. Our body is there. We're aware of our emotions, and we're willing to watch our emotions while we're also attached to that spiritual side, our deeper sense of meaning and purpose, our deeper sense of what's worthwhile in the world. When all of those pieces come together, when our physical, we're there, when our emotional, we're aware of how we're feeling, and our spiritual, we're aware of something deeper, we show up. Think what it would be like to sit down with your spouse, look them in the eyes and listen to them, or sit down with a parent, look them in the eyes and listen to them. Or sit down with a child and look them in the eyes and listen to them. Or sit down with a friend, look them in the eyes and listen to them. Whatever moment of engagement, to be really, truly present, to be really, truly engaged, and let that person sense the true you, not all the pieces that we put out there to avoid that. That's about showing up. When we show up, we're in the present moment. When we show up, we're present for that person, and we're present for ourselves. We're involved in an authentic interaction. We can be present and show up even if nobody's around by really noticing what's around us. Sometimes I'll run on my trail running, and I'll have on my headphones. And part of that is because, you know, I'm trying to just kind of get that exercise in. But sometimes I recognize my need to take off those headphones and become aware of what's around me. Feel the earth underneath my feet. Feel the breeze on my face. Feel the sweat running down my back. Feel the pulse running through me. Feel what it feels like to hit those leaves as they brush by me, as I run through the spider webs and I run through the creek and I cross the rocks and I feel those different places. And when that happens, I recognize it's different than me just going for a run where I'm trying to get the exercise. I'm really there. I'm really showing up. I'm really a part of the world around me. So what are the steps to showing up? Number one, we avoid distractions. We avoid the thoughts, the tasks, the technology, and just say, you know what, I'm going to set that aside. I'm going to set my thoughts aside. I'm going to really be listening. When I'm having a conversation, I'm not just waiting for my turn to say my line, but I'm listening to the other person, fully invested in what's going on with them. When I am with somebody else or when I'm in the world, sometimes I set down my tasks and say I can do those later. Sometimes I set down my technology and know I can do those later. That allows us to avoid distractions that keep us away from showing up. We also, number two, confront the fear. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "He who is not every day conquering some fears has not learned the secret of life." Fear is not an indicator of what to avoid. It's just an indicator of what's important. When you make it an avoidance indicator, you miss all of the big things that challenge us to live a bigger life. When we use it as an importance indicator, then we have a chance to step back and say, "I need to pay attention here. I need to be a part of this somehow more intensely." So fear is a way of moving towards showing up unless we allow it to control us and we move away from it. So to show up is to confront the fear, move toward the fear, and decide what to do with that fear. Another step to showing up is to forgive. That's why we talked about that in one of the earlier episodes, that forgiveness allows us to reengage. If we're hanging on to those resentments and those hurts, we haven't forgiven. We're still stuck with that. We're still stuck in an old pattern. So choosing to forgive allows us to let go of that and move into a new way of showing up in life. Number four is to be present. Being present is being noticing what's going on around you. If you're listening to this while you're walking, notice the feeling of the earth underneath your feet. Notice the movement as you go along. If you're sitting down and listening to this, notice the seat that's holding you. Notice the weight you put on that. Notice the smells around you, the sounds around you, the tastes around you. Notice how it feels. Are you hot? Are you cool? Are you warm? Are you neutral? What's the feeling? When we begin to be aware of that, we become present to this moment. We step away from our thoughts whenever we realign with what's going on around us and where our body is in space and time, and allow our mind to that place. So become present to your experience. Number five, offer yourself. Recognize that when you're trying to get, when you're trying to convince somebody so they're on your side and see things your way, then you're no longer being truly present and showing up. You've got an agenda. Offer yourself, how can I be of service to this person? How can I listen to this person? How can I connect with this person? How can I be a part of a bigger piece? Number 7, listen. Listen to the world around you, because that pulls you into the present moment. Listen to the other person so intently that you might just be convinced of their point of view rather than waiting to convince them of your point of view. That's our human nature, is to be in a conversation that really is two monologues often going on at the same time without really investing in the other person. And remember to listen underneath the surface. There are two levels to every communication. One is just the substance, and the other is the process. The substance might be the details of the story. The process, though, is the emotional life that's going on. When somebody's telling you about all of the details that happen at work, at some point you might recognize the process they're going through of happiness or sadness or of anger and frustration of what was going on at work. That's the separation between the substance of a conversation and the process. When we are showing up, we're looking for the process. We're connecting with that emotional space with the other person. And finally, stay connected with your emotional state, because what's going on within you is going on outside of you also. What you're feeling is going into the world. If you're angry and resentful, that is something that spreads out into the relationships. If you're feeling that anger and resentment, to be aware of that and decide that that's telling you something of the process. If you're feeling happy and joyful, that's another process that goes from you, and to be aware of that, to be connected with your emotional life, is an important part of being fully present and showing up. Now, since we live in a world that is so surrounded with not showing up, it's important to work on a pattern, a behavior, a habit of showing up. And so one way of doing that is by learning by reflection, by thinking about how did the day go. During my year of trying to show up, I try to do this every single day, to think about the times. In the evening, I would have a period of time when I would sit down and just say, where did I show up? Not where did I fail to, that was a piece of it, but I was also looking at where did I show up? Both pieces of where did I show up, where did I fail to show up? What kept me from showing up more? Why did I not pull that myself into the present? What was keeping me from really showing up? What part of that? Was it a distraction? Was it laziness? Was it fear? Did I have resentment? When was I less fully myself? You know, how did I shirk away from my true self to become something else? And why did that happen? And then how did I distract myself? What are the ways that I avoided showing up just because I've built in the habits? Those are some interesting conversations for me to have, and I invite you to have the same conversation with yourself. Did I show up? What kept me from showing up more? When was I less fully myself? And how did I distract myself? Let me suggest that showing up has 4 powerful P's to it. First one is presence. To find yourself truly a presence in the world, to offer yourself as a presence. And part of that is because you have a passion to be alive and a passion to be something bigger than where you've been, a passion to grow into something further. And because of that, you have purpose, that there's something more important than just shuffling through the day. If we're just shuffling through the day, we're not likely to show up. But when we find our purpose and our passion, it pulls us into a new place of showing up. And finally, patience, because we're not going to do it perfectly every time. Every now and then, we're going to find ourselves distracted or pulled away, lazy, fearful, maybe even resentful. And at those points, we have to be patient with ourselves, that the process of showing up is the process of learning to show up more and more in the world. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving life.
Listening to the Thriveology podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.